Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hi, I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver. Welcome to a brand new episode of Cowboy Church on RFD TV.
Hey, that is a really nice thing to really bring out their brand new episodes.
Every week, Susie, every week for the entire year, we're having a brand new episode.
That's wonderful. We've got inspirational speakers. We've got special singers. We've got stories, all kinds of stories from people who need God just like me and you do.
And we go some peculiar places, some interesting places. Mm-hmm. One of the places is at my church.
Yeah.
Shepherd's Valley Cowboy Church. I like that.
That's right. So sit back, relax, and join us for Cowboy Church. You'll be glad you did.
Mama had four kids in 5 years. And so she had us really, really fast. And if you've got Reba as a sister and my brother Paik as a brother and Alice, who is twice as bad as all of those, I was needing some attention. You know what I'm talking about? And by the time I got up there old enough to go to school, my mama wanted to hold me back because I was born in November and she figured that I needed a little bit more time to grow up. I was truly a baby because all of those kids did everything for me. I didn't have to do anything for myself. And so I count it now as a true blessing to be able to be around my grandma and my grandpa. All the other kids were at school. I had their undivided attention, and they had to answer every question that I had. All of my whys. Well, they had a big old garden down in the bottom, and they had a big old garden in the backyard. And my mama would make sure that if my daddy couldn't keep me on the ranch or if he was gone, that Gene Wilson, the school bus driver, would stop at our house and then on his way into town, drop me off at Grandma and Grandpa's. You couldn't do that today, could you? Nope. So every morning, my grandma religiously drank hot cocoa. She didn't like coffee. So by the time I got there, she'd already gone down to the barn to milk and to gather eggs. And so when I got into the kitchen, there was the big pot of hot cocoa already cooled off, with the phenomenon of, what do you call it? I hear skim. I call it scum. Don't you think it looks like a pond that's a little scummy? I mean, it's a phenomenon because if you put your spoon down to it, it'll reach up and grab it, right? Now, I'm not going to disagree with you because my mama was of the opinion of what you are. She was in a crowd like this one time, and I told this story, and afterwards she said, Susie, I hate to disagree with you. And I said, what about, Mom? And she said, it's skim, not scum. And I said, well, I know you grew up in that household, but to me it's like this. You better skim the scum off before you drink it or you will gag. Have y'all ever made that mistake? It don't go down easy, does it? The best fried chicken, the best blackberry cobbler, cat head biscuits, fresh butter, fresh milk, fresh eggs. Oh my gosh, all the food that you could eat at my grandma and grandpa's house. In fact, everybody knew in our part of the country, if you needed something to eat, there was always an extra plate at the Smith's house. Always. But in the afternoon, when it was so hot in the house, we'd get out on the front porch swing and she'd get her clabber, you know, that she'd have to be getting ready to make her butter the next day. And she'd get out on that front porch swing and she'd tell me stories about Jesus. And she influenced me so much that at the age of 12 years old, all the kids were going to the revival. I guess they had a cute worship leader or something, I don't know. But all the kids, everybody I knew, were going to the Baptist church revival. And I remember being on the very back row at 12 years old, and I saw my brother Paik go down. I saw Reba go down. And I thought, well, why are they doing that? And then I got to listening. And I heard the Jesus that my grandma lived day in and day out. I heard about him. and that he wanted my heart. And it was the same Jesus that my grandma served. So I walked down that revival aisle and I gave my heart to the Lord at 12 years old. Not because of what that evangelist was saying, but because of the life that my grandma lived in front of me every day. That rusty yellow school bus came to pick us up each day and took my sister off to school and dropped me at your house to play. I'd see you waving from the porch down that old dusty drive, and I'd run as fast as I could to your side. You taught me how to garden, and then you'd let me help you cook. That gentle smile was always there, and on your face that special look. And you tell me about Jesus, how he lived inside of you. You know I never doubted what you said was true. I didn't doubt what she said was true, but I didn't pay attention much sometime. Y'all know? She told me, she said, "Susie, you got to watch out for me because most of the time I have a hoe in my hand." That's a H-O-E. Hoe. Those things that if you work it really hard, they make you sweat. I don't use one much anymore. She said, "You got to watch out for me because I can't watch you and where you're at." She said, "Don't walk up behind me when I've got this hoe in my hand." I said, okay. Well, I wasn't paying any attention. I was looking around and what I come up right behind her on a backstroke. I mean, she nailed me right between the eyes and I went down. And I laid there and I laid there and I thought, she'll pick me up here in a minute and take me in the house. You know what she did? She turned around and looked at me and she said, "I guess you won't stand there again, will you?" And grandparents, we need a little bit more of that. 'Cause I saw him in your eyes, in your love and in your laughter, it was him I recognized. I didn't know it then, but now I realize that I saw him in your eyes. My grandma got really sick. She passed away shortly after I got saved, but I will see her one of these days. When I get where I'm going, on the far side of the skies, the first thing that I'm gonna do is spread my wings and fly. I'm gonna land beside a lion and run my fingers through his mane. Or I might find out what it's like to ride a drop of rain. Yeah, when I get where I'm going, there'll be only happy tears. I will shed the sins and struggles I have carried all these years, and I'll leave my heart wide open. Oh, I will love and have no fears. Oh, when I get where I'm going, you don't cry for me down here. I'm gonna walk with my sweet grandma, and she'll match me step for step. And I'll tell her how I missed her every minute since she left. And then I'll hug her neck. Well, when I get where I'm going, there'll be only happy tears. I will shed the sins and struggles I have carried all these years, and I'll leave my heart wide open. Oh, I will love and have no fear. Well, when I get where I'm going, You don't cry for me down here. So much pain and so much darkness in this world we stumble through. All these questions I can't answer, so much work to do. But when I get where I'm going and I see my Maker's face, I'll stand forever in the light of His amazing grace, of His amazing grace. Yeah, when I get where I'm going, oh, when I get where I'm going, there'll be only happy tears. Oh, when
Moses did it. He understood the authority, and he allowed God to minister to him through the authority of somebody who probably wouldn't measure up in most cases, but in this case, because he honored him, he began to measure up. It's good stuff, isn't it? Take advice. That's what Moses did. Next, don't lead alone. God spoke to him directly, and he said, I want 70 elders, and this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to put a portion of the anointing that I have, or the spirit that I have placed on you, I'm going to place on them. I'm going to give that anointing to them, and here's how God's anointing works. How many of you have ever studied in science class about the dividing of a cell? Each one of those cells, when it divides, is not incomplete. It's completely whole. So they didn't take a portion of it and it be anything less than what they'd given Moses. They took a portion of it and divided it off, and it became whole and every bit as powerful as what Moses's was. There were 70 elders who were anointed to be leaders and spiritual guides for the people. So what is important is we don't lead alone. We get the right people. And Ronnie brought this to one of our board meetings. He says, you don't just need the right people on the right bus. You need them on the right seat in the right bus. You get right people in the right place in the right seat, and things work. And the church is supposed to work as a body. We all have different functions. But I'll tell you more about that in just a second. Let's go to the next one, because I need to keep moving. Never be jealous. After the 70 people were anointed and God poured out his spirit on all 70 of them, an interesting thing happened. When they went home, there were two of them that stayed, and they were outside the area, and they were prophesying, and they were dancing, and they were rejoicing. And Moses' peeps came to Moses, and they said, hey, we got somebody out here who's prophesying. What are you going to do about it? Moses says this, I would to God that they would all prophesy. You know what Moses was doing at that time? He was prophesying himself about Acts chapter 2, when the Spirit of God will be given to everybody. We now have access. We have no excuse not to hear from God ourselves. And Moses said, I would to God that every person would hear from God. And the cry of a heart of a great leader is that every person hear from God, because if they're working and I'm in authority over them and they go to do tremendous things because of God's instructions, I get part of the credit. We can't be jealous over people. In fact, the great leaders always look for people who can do things better than them. Man, that's a great sign of leadership. That's why we, remember the earlier part, don't be intimidated? That's why we're not intimidated, because if we're intimidated, people who come up with tremendous skills and talents and all of this stuff We're so intimidated by it, we can't turn them loose, and never can God bless it when we don't turn them loose. Turn them loose. Let them go. Offer some guidance. Offer a little team spirit. Offer a little unity together. But you need to let people who are qualified and gifted before God, you need to turn them loose. And if you can't, you're in jealousy, and it holds not only you back, it holds them back. Pray honestly. Moses asked God why. He asked another question. He acknowledged his limitations, and he acknowledged that our lives are in God's hands. He prayed honestly before God. There are going to come times in your prayer life when you need to pray honestly before God. It's a gut-wrenching time that you need to seek God to a point where you understand that God knows where you're at already. Now, don't use this as an excuse to whine and complain, because God's not putting up with that. But if you need information and you need skills and you're in a situation that you don't know how to handle and you don't know why it works, you don't know why God put you here, you don't know all of this stuff, go ask him. Go ask God why he put it there. I can several times have asked God, why in the world do I get to be the guy who is co-host on Cowboy Church TV? I don't understand that. I never have, but I know this. I know this one thing. I know that God put me there. And so because God put me there, there's a couple of responsibilities for that. One is to understand that I'm no better than anybody else. Somebody said, wouldn't you hate to be the guy who stands behind Billy Graham and all of these thousands of people that get saved and you're next? They bring you up and say, you got to clean the toilets at Shepherd's Valley Cowboy Church.
Yeah.
You know what God's going to say? He is. Because here's our responsibility. It's not about who's better. It's about where God has set you and assigned you and how faithful you were at it. And I understand something. Sometimes we don't succeed because we can't think of ourselves as good enough when God is there to make the difference up. And then sometimes we don't succeed because we think we're too good. Well, I'm the guy who's doing Cowboy Church, so I'm pretty important. And I kind of cringe as I'm even playing with that. Because the truth of the matter is, these kind of things don't set up whether you're good or better. These set up how successful you're going to be by the way you handle it, because it's all God's, and everything I have is God's. And when it's God's, it's my job to be steward over what God has allowed me to be. Well, it sets up for our next one. The last one, stay humble. The Bible says Moses was the most humble of all men, and God established him and established his leadership. You know what God said about Moses? He says, I speak through subtleties to all these other people, but Moses and I, we speak eye to eye, face to face. How can you say stay humble when you have that connection with God? Who wouldn't like to be the guy who God talks face to face with? Someday we're going to get there. But Moses was the only, everybody else got killed off. If you ever saw God eye to eye, you got to go to heaven to stay. But Moses sits in the tent, and him and God shared conversation face to face. And yet, through all of that, I don't know of a higher calling. I don't know of a higher privilege on the face of the earth than to sit or stand and talk to God face to face, eye to eye. I don't know of a greater thing. And if a man can take that and not become somebody that exalts himself and makes himself super special, God calls him humble. Yeah, God called him Moses. And because of that, God establishes his leaders. See, what I want for you is not to be devastated when things don't go well. But when things go too well, I don't want that to tip you over either. And so what humility is the person who knows how and understands that I humble myself in the sight of the Lord. The reason I do that is because God knows where I fit. He understands who I'm supposed to be over. He understands who I need to be respecting. God knows where to slot me in. He knows where to slot you in. And you can't find that without God taking you by the hand and putting you in the place where he has slotted for you. But when you find that place, when you find that slot, what you find is this. You find out who you are. And that's what Moses did. He said he stayed humble before God. And before God, God said he's the most humble man that's ever lived on the face of the earth. And God took him and established his leadership. That's why I say Moses was one of the greatest, or the greatest leader that I know of in the Bible, is because him and God talked eyeball to eyeball, face to face. That's one big challenge for all of us. Because now the Spirit of God has been poured out on all flesh. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we now have access to God. Now, I'm not going to say you're going to see God eye to eye. But I'm telling you, there's a place that's a higher standard than where you're living now. And you know what establishes leadership? It's a little simple thing. One thing, God does. And if you're ready at the time that God calls, God can set you up. It doesn't take a minute for God to put you in a place where he needs to have you. God will establish leadership in his time. He'll do it his way. He'll do it through whoever he wants to. And what we have to be is ready and willing to do that. You take the guy, young king named Saul. They found him when it was time for him to be set up as king. He was hiding in the sticks. You know what that is? That's false humility. It's called pride. He didn't think he could do that. And what happened? We saw the other end of pride. In his kingship, he never really got over it. And pretty soon he flipped and he thought he deserved everything and the whole world owed him everything. Do we live there today? So if you want to be a great leader, the world is looking for somebody who knows how to handle authority, knows how to handle honor, and knows how to handle success in a humble way, and a person who knows how to handle it when it's not so good. Yeah, God wants to establish leaders. You might be one. When it happens, I want you to be ready. Moses is a good study on that.
Well, if you enjoy Cowboy Church, I want to ask you to do something. Get your checkbook out or go to the website and pledge to support Cowboy Church. We rely on your gifts. This doesn't come to me. It doesn't come to Russ. It comes to us making these shows weekly. We don't have big support. We don't have big sponsors. You don't see any big commercials on these shows. God has put us in a place where we rely upon the people who enjoy Cowboy Church. We love hearing from you. Thank you for your letters and thank you for your support. God bless you, and we'll see you next week on Cowboy Church.
The Holy Lamb was stricken, abandoned.